Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We are in Revelation 21 tonight, and we're going to cover verses 9 all the way through chapter 22 and verse 5. So you're going to need to listen up fast this evening. And I've got one more sermon I want to preach from the book of Revelation. It's called Last Things, Last Words. And next Sunday night I'll be preaching verses chapter 22, verses 6 to the end of the book. And then we're going to dive into some prophetic messages kind of in other places in the Bible for the next few weeks. I don't know, just let the Lord lead us and do what we need to do there on Sunday evenings. But it's been a wonderful study, has it not? And whenever you're in the Word of God, have y'all ever found this to be true? Whatever book you're studying in the Bible becomes your new favorite book. That's kind of the way it happens for me. So thank y'all for coming out on this Labor Day Sunday night weekend. I do preach a sermon usually on Labor Day weekend called Manual Labor is Not the President of Mexico. Well, six of y'all got that, okay. But we're not going to preach on that today. We're going to look at the New Jerusalem, the holy city of God. John, before we get into reading the scriptures, John was taken up onto this great big mountain by one of those seven angels who had poured out the seven last plagues, the seven bowl judgments upon the earth. So John was in the spirit when he saw this beautiful, drop-dead gorgeous city coming down out of the heavens, out of the new heavens. Of course, this is the New Jerusalem. Now, it doesn't touch the earth. It's kind of suspended in space. And what John saw was so breathtaking that he had trouble describing what he was seeing. This city, of course, is none other than the New Jerusalem. And it is the eternal dwelling place of every single Christian. Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, is not just the home of the bride, it is the bride. And you know, it's not buildings that make up a city, it's the people. And so that's where we're going, that's going to be our holy habitation for all of eternity, in this holy city that's kind of suspended in space. And nothing profane, there'll be nothing that defiles, nothing, no abomination is allowed to enter or touch the New Jerusalem. I'll tell you what, as I've been reading this passage again over and over this afternoon, man, I'm homesick. We are strangers. We've gotten too comfortable with the world, really. We are aliens in a foreign land. We are strangers in this. This world is not our home. I'm just a passing through. My home's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels beckon from heaven's open door. I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. Dwight, you remember that one? That's an old one, but a good one. Amen? I'll just shut up there. So let's first of all look at the glory of this city. The glory of the city. Now, you remember what Jesus said in John 14, 2? I go. Yes. And so this city is being prepared. It's being built by the hands of God, not the hands of men. And every city you've ever seen pales in comparison to this city. So let's talk about the glory of the city. First of all, we're going to look at the sights of the city. Look at verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who is that? Us. Are y'all... Is it too much chicken this afternoon or what? I mean, I've got my work cut out for me this evening. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain
and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, like we were talking about, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 13, three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. We're going to look, first of all, at the sights of this great city. Now, this city will be lit up like nothing you've ever seen before. There's no need for the sun, no need for the moon, no need for the stars to shine, because the Shekinah glory of God's going to light up this city. Oh, we've never seen the Shekinah glory of God. But I want to tell you, there's some Old Testament saints that have seen that Shekinah glory. I'm thinking about Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured before their very eyes. You remember? I mean, He became on the outside what He already is on the inside. And that Shekinah glory is going to light up the new Jerusalem. God's glory no longer will reside in temples and tabernacles and in believers for all of eternity. God's light will shine and light up the city of God. Now, let's look at the foundation and the walls and the gates of this city. The foundation of the city speaks of its permanence. And the foundation is made up of all these precious stones, vibrant green, sky blue, crimson red, shining gold, deep violet, shimmering, shining, Shekinah glory. Who was it that, John, was that you that put the rainbow on our Facebook page? You know, these sights that John's seeing are even more beautiful than God's rainbows that He puts in the sky from time to time. There are 12 foundations, and the 12 foundations each have one of the apostles' name written upon them. And the names of the apostles is a reference to the church. Our holy habitation is going to be this holy city for all of eternity. That's where we're going to live. Now, each of the 12 walls are embedded in the 12 foundations. This city, and I think what John's saying there is, this city is grounded and built upon truth. Why walls in this city? Well, this is God's way of telling us that we're going to be forever safe and secure. No worries anymore when you get to this city. Now, they speak of protection. Walls are there because, and they're not, and the walls are there and the gates are there not to keep us in, but just to glorify God. That's why this city is the glory of God. And by the way, only holy folks are going to be in this city. Not going to be any sinners, anybody defiled by sin. No contamination there. No degradation there. This is going to be a holy city. And the walls are there for the glory of God. There are 12 gates, and they're guarded by how many angels? 12 angels. You remember what we said about the number 12? That's been a long time ago. That is the number of completion, divine completion. I mean, it's all done. Each gate is made of a pearl. Now, what is a pearl symbolic of? Purity? Suffering? You know how a pearl is made? Man, it's made out of suffering. The pearl will take in some kind of foreign object, and it'll secrete this solution around the irritant in it. And out of suffering comes a beautiful pearl. And so every time, and each one of these gates is made of pearl, one pearl. And I think every time we go through these gates, we'll be reminded of the tremendous sacrifice and suffering that the Lord went through for each one of us. And so the names of the 12 tribes of Israel allows each tribe to enter that gate by the gate that their tribe is named for. And then the Jewish people will be on the new earth, but they will be able to come to New Jerusalem just like we'll be able to go to the new earth. But they'll come to New Jerusalem for worship, feast days, and fellowship. And tonight, when you go home and the sun sets, take a look up in the sky at the moon and see how it's suspended in space. That's much the way the New Jerusalem will be suspended. It'll be just hanging in space. And so we've got a glory. There's going to be some glorious sights in that city. The walls, the gates, the foundations. But just remember this. The Shekinah glory of God will light that city up. Whoo! Now let's listen to the sounds of the city. Look at verse 11. Revelation chapter 5. Look at 11 through 14. This is talking about the New Jerusalem, the holy city. We listen to the sounds of the city. Chapter 5, verse 11. John says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and forever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and forever. And so John had the privilege of hearing what worship is going to be like in the New Jerusalem. And I want to tell y'all, I've got a confession to make. This is what changed the way I think about how worship is supposed to be. I grew up in First Baptist Clarksville. Great church. Gail's dad was one of the finest preachers I've ever heard. I mean, Bill Morris was a fantastic choir director and music leader. And we had great music there at First Baptist. We had tremendous fellowship with one another. Had great Sunday school. I mean, we had a fantastic... But I will tell you, those of you that grew up at First Baptist know what it was like, right? I mean, you could have heard a pin drop in there. There wasn't anybody shouting. There wasn't anybody screaming. Well, Mr. Barty, he would shout amen every now and then. But this is what changed my way of thinking about how worship's going to be there. And so I'm getting ready for worship there, right here. Does that make sense? Now, there'll be times, you know, when it's so loud you can't hear it thunder. There'll be times when it'll just be so loud you won't be able to... And then there'll be other times when you'll be able to hear a pin drop. There'll be a holy hush fall over heaven. And I want to tell you, there's some wonderful sounds that we are going to be a privilege of. I like, and people from all over the new earth and the new Jerusalem are going to come to the holy city for one reason, to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's going to be something else. We'll be singing this new song that the Bible talks about of redemption together. Dr. R.G. Lee, the late great pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church, once said that our best music down here will sound like a bumblebee in a bottle compared to the music up there. It's going to be awesome. And I sit here and I wonder what some folks are going to do when they get to heaven, because the sermon's too long, the music is too loud, and blah, 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 blah. But oh, the sounds in heaven. We're going to have a great time in heaven. Amen? Amen. Now, let's look at the size of the city. And I'll tell you what, I think I gave y'all a little preview of this here a week or two ago. But this is a tremendous city in size. Look at verse 15 in Revelation 21. Verse 15. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured the wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And now listen to this. And the street, singular, one, not plural. All those songs we sing about the streets of gold, that's not quite biblical. There's one street in heaven, Main Street. Oh, I've upset some of you already, hadn't I? The street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Now, the size of the city, let's look at that for just a minute. It is immense. And I've done some homework here. The walls of the city are made of jasper. That's kind of probably a diamond-like substance. And the walls are 216 feet tall, if you do the math here. And the city is made of pure gold. But it has the reflection of almost like, you know, clear glass. And John tells us that the city is laid out in a square. Now, a furlong is 1/8 of a mile. You got that? A furlong is 1/8 of a mile. So the perimeter of the New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles in every direction. Okay? 1,500 miles in every direction. So if you were looking at a map today, and you put a pencil on the city of Miami and went all the way up to Maine, the tip of Maine, that is 1,500 miles. And then you come down to Denver, Colorado. That's 1,500 miles. And then you come from Denver, Colorado to the tip of Central America. That's 1,500 miles. And then from Central America back to Maine, that is the base of heaven. But heaven is also 1,500 miles high. Now get this. If heaven were stories of floors with 15-foot ceilings, heaven would have 528,000 stories of floor. And each floor would have 2,250,000 square miles of space. The Department of Eugenics believes that there's somewhere around 30 billion people that have been on this planet. And let's just say that all 30 billion wound up in the New Jerusalem. Now, we know that's not going to happen because the majority of people are going to hell. That's what the Bible says. But let's just say all 30 billion people wound up in the New Jerusalem. You know how much property each one of them would have? 196 square miles of property. Wrap your head around that. Why is heaven so big? So that whoever wants to go can go. And it also reflects the grace and the goodness of Almighty God, doesn't it? And it's big enough for anyone and everyone to go. And also, let me just say, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung is the one who first pointed this out to me. There's only one street in the city, Main Street, and everybody lives on it. No streets. How many times have we sung that, Dwight, in church over the years? 3 billion times. But there's only one street in heaven, and it's Main Street. And that's where everybody lives. So, isn't that amazing, the size of the city? Somebody act excited for me, all right? Isn't that awesome? And then now let's look at the sanctuary of the city. And this will blow you away too. Look at verses 22 and 23. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. There will be no sanctuary in the city of God. No sanctuary in the New Jerusalem. Why? Because the entire city will be indwelt by the presence of God Almighty. You can't even hardly think about that. But think about this. Jesus will be the sanctuary. Billy Walker did such a good job this morning talking about some of those Old Testament truths. and how all those Old Testament truths that we learned about the temple and the tabernacle all point to who? Jesus, that's right. And so the temple was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It had a gate. Remember? The temple in Jerusalem had a gate. Well, guess who Jesus is? He's the door. The temple had an altar. Jesus shed His blood. The temple had a laver out there in the courtyard. Jesus cleanses us with His Word. The temple had a table of showbread inside for the priest. Jesus is the bread of life. The temple had a candelabra inside to provide light in the temple. Jesus is the light of the world. The temple had incense burning inside of it. Jesus is our high priest. He is the temple. He is the sanctuary. And so you're not going to have a sanctuary to go to because the presence of Almighty God is going to be dwelling with us. So much for the glory of the city. Let's look at the godliness of the city. Are y'all getting anything out of this? My preaching professor, Dr. Robert Smith, I mean, nailed me day in and day out. Make sure you're communicating with your audience. Well, y'all are the audience tonight, and I want to make sure we're communicating with you, okay? And so from time to time, smile or cry or say amen or look funny at me just to let me know I'm communicating with you, all right? The godliness of the city, verse 24. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. Why? Because there's no more night there. Isn't that wonderful? And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Who are the citizens of this city? We are. But I want you to think about this too. There's some little aborted babies in there. There's some children there in that great city. And the saints of all the ages will be in the New Jerusalem. Believers from every nation. I want y'all to just real quickly, I keep hearing rumblings of this. Turn with me to 2 Samuel for just a minute. Would you? I want to share something with you. Billy had you in 1 Samuel. I want you to go to 2 Samuel tonight, chapter 12. Now, David's son, David and Bathsheba's son that they conceived in sin is deathly sick, okay? And so David's fasting and he's praying that God would save his little boy, that God would heal him. And when people were fasting and praying back in those days, they were put on sackcloth and put ashes on their heads, and everybody knew that they were in a time of deep mourning and prayer. Well, look at what 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23 says. But now he is dead. Well, back up to verse 22. And David said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So where is David's little boy? In glory. I'm tired of hearing about all this mess. Only the elect are in heaven. Well, that's true. And evidently, little unborn babies and children and babies that are, you know, dying early, they're in glory. They are the elect. I want to tell you what, I'm going to nominate everybody. We don't know who the elect are. Are y'all with me? I don't want to get off on all that too much tonight, but just know, I believe all these babies and these children that die before they're accountable, before they know what sin is, before they understand what sin does, before they're accountable for their sins and they die, they're with Jesus. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And so there's all kinds of little children in glory. Now, maybe they'll be adults by then. I don't know. But I want to tell you, there's multitudes and multitudes of little babies and children in glory. And so only those who have trusted Christ, the rest of us, and His shed blood that is atoned for their sins will be in the New Jerusalem. This is a holy city, and the light that you remember I was talking about, the light that blazed on the face of Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration, that's the same light that's going to light up all of heaven, and there is no more night. How many of y'all are scared of the dark? That's what I thought. How many of you used to be afraid of the dark? Yeah. Well, there's not going to be any more night in heaven. We don't have anything to fear. The city has a glow about it also, though, because it's made of what? Pure gold. The 12 stones in the foundation of the city shine brilliantly. The walls made of some diamond-like substance reflect the glory of God. This is a godly, glorious, holy city. Only the blood-bought can walk in and enter into this city. No sinners allowed. Only those names who have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life are in the New Jerusalem. Only the saved. And finally, some of the mystery of God will finally be over for us, and we will have unhindered communication and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, the nations, will bring glory and honor to that place, and the blessing of God will pour down in return. This will be not only a glorious city, but a godly city. Now, this is what I was talking about a little while ago. You know, these folks that sit in church and I wish he'd hurry up and shut up. You know, and the music's too loud and they didn't like that the preacher was giving a plea for the offering, and they don't like anything that's going on. And my question is, what are these folks going to do if they get to heaven? Because it's going to be a glorious time. Let's look at the gladness of the city. Look at chapter 22, 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. What curse? The curse of sin is gone. Gone. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. You know, this must have just tore John all to pieces. How many times have we heard this already? Several times, hadn't we? I mean, Jesus is going to light this place up. And they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall what? R-A-I-N? R-E-I-G-N. They will reign with Him forever and ever. You know what you're going to see? One of the things you're going to see when you get to heaven? Bless God, we're finally going to have a satisfied congregation. We're going to have some satisfied people. Everyone will be drinking from the crystal river of life. Satisfaction, amen? And so every God-given thirst that we have will be satisfied in heaven. You remember we talked about hell a couple of weeks ago, and those desires and those appetites for the people in hell will never be satisfied. Ever. And yet all the people in the New Jerusalem will be totally satisfied. We'll be drinking from the river of life. Whew, that's God's way of saying everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to work out. There'll be no unmet needs or unmet desires. Now, this river that John's talking about is the essence of the God life in the holy city. The tree of life, oh, it shows up again. When's the last time we heard about the tree of life? Yeah, Genesis. Where was it? In the Garden of Eden. And you remember, this tree of life was the reason that God needed to get Adam and Eve out of the garden. Why? Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they'd eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, if they had eaten from the tree of life, they would have been in their sin forever, because they would have been in their eternal state. And so that's why God got them out of the garden. And now you see the tree of life showing back up here in the Garden of Eden. And the saints will enjoy the fruit of this tree for all of eternity. It's going to bear new and different fruit every month. Oh, I can't imagine a tree like that. And the leaves, you know what the leaves of this tree are going to provide for? Healing of the nations. The glow of health will be on the face of everyone in heaven. Can you imagine that? No more heart problems. No more cancer. No more leukemia. Just heard today about a buddy of mine's got leukemia. No more sickness. No more whatever it is that you're struggling with, not going to be any more of that. Life is going to be as it should be, and the way God created it to be. And we're going to serve Him for all of eternity. Now, there's not going to be no hurt or no heartache in serving God. You're being prepared right now for higher service up there. I don't know what all we'll be doing there, but I want to tell you, it'll be a joy to serve Jesus. I don't know how you're going to reign with Him and serve Him too, but we're going to be doing both. And it is going to be an amazing, amazing place the way God intended for it to be. And here's the greatest thing for me about heaven. Did you see that? We shall see His face. The beautiful face of our Lord. We're going to look upon Him. And John tells us, we shall be like Him. And we're not going to be Him, but we shall be like Him. Imagine looking into the face of Jesus. That's heaven, isn't it? His name shall be on us forever and forever. We're going to reign with Him forever and ever. Joy unspeakable and full of glory awaits us. Hallelujah. What a city. What a Savior. I know it's been a lot to digest and to meditate on tonight. But what does it mean to you today that you're going to be in a holy city? And you're going to be able to come down to the new earth whenever you want to also. You can travel at the speed of thought. You can go back and forth. But we're all going to worship. The city, there's not going to be any night. No more stain. No, the removal of sin is far gone. No more curse. We're going to eat from the tree of life. Is watermelon is that a fruit? I'm going to go to the watermelon tree. What does it make, what you've heard tonight, how does it help you? What does it do for you? Peace and joy. God's made the promise. We've already won. Encouragement. When the days seem long and the valleys, thankful. And you know, y'all, we strain and we struggle and we're just trying to get one more day here. But you know what? If we got a glimpse really of what it's like there, we'd all get our 45 out tonight. I think that's why God's protected us and not given us too much information about things there. I mean, it is so glorious and so awesome. Shep, I've often wondered about what Lazarus thought. Why did y'all do this to me? You know, unbelievable place. And y'all, really, we're only here for a few years. The Bible says it's like a vapor, a mist, and then gone. And how long is eternity? A gazillion years from now, we'll be still floating around in this city, the New Jerusalem, in our heavenly homes that God's preparing for us right now. How good God is. How good God is. I don't know what this does for you, but I'll tell you what it does for me. If He's done all that for me, I want to finish well. I want to hit the tape running. I want to be all that God wants me to be. I turned 62 last week. I got me a buffet breakfast down here for turning 62. But I want to tell you, I've got something far better than a buffet breakfast waiting on me in glory. And I can't wait to get there. And I want to take as many folks with me as I can. I don't want my worst enemy to have to go to hell. There is a hell. And there is a heaven. And what you do with Jesus determines which one you're going to go to. Bow your head with me tonight, would you? Lord, I don't quite know how to end this message tonight, but I just can't go without offering some kind of invitation and response. If you're here tonight, it is not the Lord's will that you might perish and be separated from Him for all of eternity. It's His will that you would see Him face to face in the New Jerusalem. It's His will that you would be saved tonight. If you're not sure, absolutely sure, about being in that New Jerusalem, in the holy city, why don't tonight you just do business with God and trust Him? Just agree with Him about your sin, turn from it, and surrender to Christ. Give Him your heart tonight. And ask Him to change you. Ask Him to save you. Just do that right where you sit. Say, Pastor Cal, I prayed that way tonight. I really did. And I believe God just now saved me in my seat. Would you slip your hand up in there and just wave at me? All I want to do is sit down with you after the service. I prayed like that tonight. Yes, Pastor, I did that. I've been born again. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm following Jesus now. Anybody here pray and ask God to save them tonight? Father, evidently, everybody here is saved. Or maybe not everybody here wants to be saved. But I can't imagine God not wanting to go to a place like this. You've done everything that we need. You've done everything that needs to be done, so that we might be your children. And my, from what we've read tonight, our new home is going to be an unbelievable place. And so, Lord, until you come to get us, or until we come to you, help us to stay faithful. Help us, God, to draw as many to Christ as we can. I thank you for these 50 or 60 folks that have come out tonight, or however many is here. And I pray that you would make us ambassadors of the kingdom, evangelists, every one of us, and tell folks what we've heard here tonight, so that Jesus might be glorified in our lives. Help us to plant seeds. Help us to water those seeds. And God, you're the one that's going to give the increase. It's in Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.